See, Kids Ministry, Marine, the team. And so we are just so excited. Once again, about Thursday night services, we have Food and Friends that happens on Thursday night. Now we're going to have child care 0 to 4 on Thursday night, and it is phenomenal. So we actually had Food and Friends this past Thursday. Had more meals served than we've had thus far. Can we give God the praise for that? We have more meals served thus far on Thursday nights to the needy in our community. So we're so thankful for Food and Friends that's happened on Thursday night. Now we have child care. So we're excited about that. And I just want us to just go ahead and put it out there. I know what you guys are thinking. School starts this week. And some of us are going, praise the Lord. And others are going, oh no, you know. And I don't know where you're at, but I know one thing. We all need prayer, amen. And so here's what we want to pray for right now. We want to pray over our teachers, our educators, or if you're a principal, a school bus driver, if you're an office administrator or a maintenance person, I don't care who you are, we want to pray for you. And if you serve in any capacity in the education system in any county, will you stand up right now? Will you just stand and stay standing? Everybody stand up if you're in the education system. Stand up right now. River Priest, go, I don't care where you're at, stand up right now. Keep standing. We want to give it up for you. We love you guys. Stay standing. Stay standing. So I want to pray over you. I want to pray over you. And if you see someone close to you, just go ahead and put your hand towards them, and let's bless them right now. Go ahead and put your hand up towards an educator, and let's bless them right now. Father God, we are so thankful for every teacher, for every office administrator, every maintenance person. Lord, whatever capacity they're serving in administration, or maybe right now they're even like a volunteer, Lord, in a big capacity. Lord, we just want to thank you so much for every single disciple of Jesus who serves in that way, Lord, who decides to be a beacon of light to the next generation. Lord, I'm asking right now for an extra amount of blessing and protection over them as they head into this new school year. Lord, we know there's excitement and we know there's challenges. And so, Lord, we're asking them to know that you're with them, Lord, that you are right there with them, but also you go before them. And so, Lord, we thank you so much for the opportunity once again to serve the next generation. And Lord, I'm asking right now that you be with these kids, and may other disciples of Jesus or within the student body rise up and lead and win more people to Jesus this school year than ever before. And so, Lord, we thank you so much for this opportunity to serve you. I'm praying for rest. I'm praying for strength. I'm praying for peace. I'm praying for a hope and a love for you and a love for these kids and fellow workers right now. Lord, thank you so much for this opportunity to be your light in this school year. Once again, Lord, we want to give you all the glory, and we pray this in the name of Jesus. And everyone said, amen. Can we give it again for these educators? Love you guys. We love you. So thankful for you. So we are right now in our series called It Is Written, and our daily Bible. And we had Pastor Anthony and Pastor Ty lead us this past 2 weeks. And they did a great job, didn't they? They did a phenomenal job. So thankful for them. And so here we are, and we're going to continue on with Jeremiah. And here's something I want you to think about. You know there's something really exciting about being a troublemaker for God. You know that? There's something really exciting about being a troublemaker for God, receiving special assignment from the transcendent God, carrying out a mission against all odds, against overcoming odds, and this seeing something transformed come out of it all. I mean, Esther creates trouble and she saves a whole race of people. Daniel in the Bible creates trouble and he saves an entire nation. Who wouldn't want to be like a James Bond type of person who's out there, you know, for God, surviving all the gunfights and all the car crashes and wind up saving the whole world and riding off in the sunset with the love of your life at the end of the story? I mean, it's easy to romanticize as being a troublemaker for God if you knew you're going to survive all the gunfights and all the car crashes. How would you feel signed for a mission to God, though, if you knew in advance that the stunts and the adventures that you were going to be in were not going to work out so well? In fact, if you knew, you were going to get worked over. What if you understood that through your assignment from God, you aren't going to actually save the world? In fact, you aren't going to wind up changing many things at all. You aren't going to ride off in the sunset with the love of your life. How many of us would be willing to stand in line and volunteer to make trouble for God when doing so would create pain and trouble in our own lives? Here's a question. Would a good God ever give a son or daughter that he loved a terrible assignment to carry out. Would a good God allow his sons and daughters to experience injury or even death in carrying out a mission for him? Would a good God give an assignment to his sons and his daughters knowing that there's no possibility of it ever becoming fruitful or successful, maybe not even changing one life? Would a good God ask one of his troublemaking sons or troublemaking daughters to do something that would create huge amounts of trouble and heartbreak in their lives? We're going to continue to look at Jeremiah. God comes to him, and what most people think is he's probably in his late teen years. If you're working with teenagers, all right, you probably have no perspective of this. He's probably a late teenager, and here's what God says to him off the bat. He comes to him and says these words, "But the Lord said to me," Jeremiah says, "do not say, Jeremiah, I am too young." What's he saying? Don't be saying, Jeremiah, that you're only a child. Don't use that excuse. You must go to everyone I send to you and say whatever I command you. Now, Jeremiah is a little hesitant when he receives this assignment, not sure what this is going to lead to. In fact, he's pretty nervous about it, to be honest with you. And so here's what God says to him next. They will fight against you, but will not overcome you. Now, if I'm Jeremiah, I'm going, who is they? And how many is they? Like, how bad are they going to fight? How long are they going to fight? Who are all these people going to fight against me? And all of a sudden, here's what God says to kind of comfort him. For these big words, read with me. Here we are. 1, 2, 3. I am with you. For I am with you and will rescue you, declares the Lord. Now, that's comforting enough for Jeremiah. And so, basically, he says to God, I'm in. Count me in. Side note, many of you have been prompted by God, and you know exactly where you were when you were prompted by God with a certain assignment. You know that place. You know that time. You remember that day. Now, some of you, it's more of a process before God prompted you with a tough assignment. Let me tell you right now, Jeremiah knows exactly where he's at when he tells God, I'm all in. And then he receives the specifics of the assignment and what's going to go down. The God of the universe wants him to say difficult words to the nation of Israel. He's going to be the bearer of bad news, if you will. God wants Jeremiah to go from city to city to city, basically telling the people that they have forsaken God, they've forsaken his wisdom, they've forsaken his ways, they have forsaken his will for them, they've forsaken the poor and the aliens and the marginalized and the widows. And God is going to allow an enemy nation to swoop in and carry them off into exile for generations to come. Now, as you can imagine, this is not a popular message to give to people, by the way. Can you imagine having this assignment? That you have to go door to door. Think about this. You have to go door to door in your neighborhood, knock on your neighbor's door and say, hey, Joe, I know we haven't seen each other in a while. Great job of the yard, by the way. Hey, I want to let you know our nation's been so corrupt that God is going to bring in the enemy nation to take us out. And basically, we're going to be slaves for an entire nation and our kids, our grandkids for many, many years. So just want to give you a heads up on that. Hey, good seeing you. All right. Have a good day. I mean, what would you think about having to give this message in your neighborhood? Day in, day out. And this is the kind of message that God has Jeremiah deliver to leaders, to commoners, to anyone who he can get an audience with. And as you would imagine, Jeremiah's approval rating starts to plummet. When people see Jeremiah coming, they're like, move right along. We don't want you here. We don't want any negative Nancys around us. You just move and take your doom and gloom with you. Don't even stop in our neighborhood. Don't even stop in our city. This is no fun at all for Jeremiah. I mean, he was all fired up about being on mission for God, but this mission is a downer. It's a downer, and he's getting really sick of having to do it. Then one day, God does something really unusual. He comes up to Jeremiah. He says, hey, Jeremiah, I need you to go to Potter's house, to the Potter's house down the road. I need you to go to that house and go to the Potter's house. And I need you to buy a jar there. And I need you to take the jar. And I want you just to walk around with a jar. Well, he goes to Potiphar's house and he takes the jar and he's walking around with a jar and he's out there delivering the message and he doesn't know why he's carrying the jar, but God has him carry the jar and he's carrying the jar. And all of a sudden, a huge amount of people are coming around Jeremiah. And they're listening to him, but they're wondering why in the world he's carrying around this jar. Well, he doesn't know why he's carrying around the jar. But all of a sudden, he gets a prompting from the Lord, and look what happens. He disobeys the God, and out of nowhere, God prompts Jeremiah, take the jar and just slam it down, which I'm not going to do, so Fred, you're okay, all right? So your front row people are fine, all right? But he takes the jar and he just slams it right in front of the people. Look what happens. Look at Scripture. Then break the jar, God says, while those who go with you are watching and say to them, this is what the Lord Almighty says. I will what? I will smash this nation and this city just as this potter's jar is smashed and cannot be repaired. That's heavy. That's pretty heavy. What if I did that? What if I said, all right, RCC, we asked you to sign up for children's ministry. You didn't do it. And I just slammed the jar down. Like, that's what's going to happen to you people. Because you wouldn't sign up for children's ministry and student ministry. What would that do? I would know one thing. You would not be sharing photos of me in your wallet. You wouldn't be carrying around photos of me in your wallet anymore. And these people are not carrying photos of Jeremiah in their wallet. In fact, what they do after this jar smashing accident, incident, what they do is they take Jeremiah and they take him over the side and they beat the living daylights out of him. They just beat him up. And then they tie him, for more humiliation's sake, to the front gate. So when people walk by, what they do? They slap Jeremiah in the face and they spit on him. And I can't imagine what that humiliating experience must have been like. And they would say things to him. Like they would say, how about this, Jeremiah? Here's a concept. How about shut it? How about never talk again? Take your doom and gloom and just shut it down. We don't want to hear it anymore. How about that? And eventually he gets let go and he's set free. And guess what he does? Jeremiah goes ballistic. He goes ballistic, not on the people. Guess who he goes ballistic on? On God. He just lets God have it. And I'm not over exaggerating. No kidding here. Look what it says in Jeremiah 20, verse 7. Here's what he says to God. You what? You what? Deceive me. You deceived me, Lord, and I was deceived. You overpowered me and prevailed. We're going to come back around to that in a second. Here's what Jeremiah says to God. I am ridiculed all day long. Everyone, even my ex-girlfriends come by, they mock me. I mean, this is bad. I'm getting mocked by everyone. Whenever I speak, I cry out, proclaiming violence and destruction. So the word of the Lord has brought me insult, and you, God, have brought me reproach all day long. I didn't think signing up for this assignment was going to end up doing this to me. And after he gets done with that, and gets that off his chest, then he really tells God how he feels. Look what he says next, verse 14. Cursed be the day I was born. May the day my mother bore me not be blessed. What's he saying? I hate my birthday. That's what he's saying. I kind of get what he's saying. I mean, I just had another birthday. I'm like, this is getting ridiculous. I just had one. How am I having another one? This is getting really bad. But he hates his birthday for all different kinds of reasons. He goes on, verse 15, cursed be the man who brought my father the news, who made him very glad, saying, hey, sir, a child is born to you, a son. What is Jeremiah saying here? The guy who came out of the delivery room passing out balloons and passing out cigars, telling my dad he had a boy. I hate that guy too. Verse 18. Why did I ever come out of the womb? To see trouble and sorrow and end my days in shame? Is my whole life going to be like this? Is what Jeremiah is saying. I mean, this is worse than a bad hair day. I don't know what a bad hair day feels like, but this is worse than that. But I want to go back to 20 verse 7. Here's what Jeremiah says. You deceived me, Lord, and I was deceived. You overpowered me. You prevailed. See, in the English translation, it kind of loses its edge. That phrase right there, deceived me, would be better translated to say this. Lord, you seduced me. Wow. You seduced me. I'm so frustrated. He's so angry with God, saying, you took advantage of me. You signed me up for this terrible mission. I mean, I feel betrayed. I feel taken advantage of. This is quite a charge, wouldn't you say? This is quite a charge from Jeremiah to the God of the universe. And he's saying, you conned me, God. You conned me. I was weak. I was at a vulnerable age and stage of my life, and you conned me into taking on this terrible mission. I resent you. I know what some of you are thinking right now. You're like, I would never talk to God like that. There's no way I'd ever say that to God. If God signed me with a bad mission, I would just, you know, I just wouldn't talk to God that way. I couldn't do that. I couldn't do what Jeremiah's doing. If I can just be real with you for a moment. What I see most Christians do is they don't shake their fist at God and let him have it. Man, when they get a tough assignment, what I've seen most Christians do, they just kind of bail. They just bail. They just walk away from the assignment, just say, you know, who needs this? They wash their hands of it, and they just kind of move right along and go their own way. And it's been heartbreaking to watch over the years. Don't tell how many Christians I've had to watch and walk away from difficult assignments, watch them, you know, take something on, then just drop it. I've been tracked down by people. I get tracked down almost every day. Somebody comes up, man, I got a new assignment from the Lord. God's calling me to do this. And I ask them, tell me about this new assignment. Tell me what God's calling you to do. And they say, you know what, I'm going to work with junior high students. Yeah, I'm going to volunteer in whatever ministry. You know, a lot of people in my office, they don't believe in God. And so I'm going to start a Bible study there. I'm going to open up my home for a small group, a life group at RCC. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to volunteer at Mercy Support Services or First Coast Women's Services or a rescue mission and on these exciting missions get announced to me. And people kind of burst out of the starting blocks. You know, we're watching the Olympics right now, and it's like watching these guys that they're shooting off the blocks and the track, and all of a sudden they're just starting so strong, right? I mean, and they're there. They just start off so fast. They're going to end the race. They're going to run hard. And then as they run the race and they start their assignment from God, all of a sudden the shine wears off. The routine sets in. You know, the summer's here kind of long and hot and humid and buggy. And I mean, they got all kinds of reasons, right? I mean, ministry gets hard. Someone doesn't cooperate. Someone doesn't communicate. Someone doesn't call them back. And one of the leaders drops the ball and there's a resistance. I can't believe it, but there's resistance. Who would have thought that? And not enough people sign up for the Bible study. And then you see these people a couple months later and you ask them, hey, how's that assignment from God going? And they kind of look at you, and they got their head down and say, well, I'm not doing that anymore. Like, what did you just say? I'm sorry, I didn't hear you. I'm not doing that anymore. And it's hard for them to tell me that they just quit. And I sense what's going on. That troublemaking assignment caused too much trouble in their well-ordered lives. So they just kind of quietly bail. They blame it on stuff, you know. Hey, no leadership. You know, there's leadership. There's a hierarchy and there's politics. Or, you know, there was, oh, I didn't know that was going to happen. Or, you know, it just takes a lot out of me. And, you know, they get busy. And, you know, all of a sudden the kids are starting volleyball and basketball and golf and whatever else and soccer and underwater basket weaving. You know, it just got really busy, you know. And I wonder if Christians understand this. I wonder if they understand how precious callings really are. How precious troublemaking assignments really are. Do you realize how much God does and what he goes through before he taps you on the shoulder and says, I got an assignment for you. I got this for you. I've crafted it for you. I know it's going to be difficult. I know I'm going to have to mold you and grow you along this journey and through this assignment, but I want you to do it. I want you to be faithful with it. And I fear that too many disciples of Jesus take their callings far too lightly and they bail out far too quickly. You know, I had someone come up to me this past week, and I'm like, man, you ever, you know, they're a leader in the community, and they're like, you ever feel like this? You ever feel like quitting? I'm like, I think every leader does. I mean, every leader, that's just part of the course. That's part of going through a tough assignment. You always struggle with that. I mean, I came into ministry with 40 other guys. There's 40 of us and some ladies too. We all came in ministry together. And after taking the last scorecard I looked at, there's only, out of the 40, only two of us left in full-time ministry. Only two. And I get how hard it is. I get, if you see a pastor who makes it past the four-year mark, I want to tell you, that's a miracle. Because it's such a hard assignment. I totally get it. And here's the thing. We have to realize these callings come from God, and we cannot take them too lightly. And yeah, just like Jeremiah, we may be foot-stomping mad sometimes. I mean, this guy got physically beaten. He feels awful. He's been publicly humiliated, he's been slapped, he's been laughed at, he's been spit on, he rants and he raves in his prayer towards God, but I want you to notice something that he never does. Jeremiah never does something, and look at your sermon title, he never does what? He never gives up. Notice there's one thing he never does, he never gives up. In fact, when he thinks about quitting on God's assignment, he says these amazing words. Look at this in chapter 20, verse 9. He says, but if I say, I will not mention his word. If I say, I will not speak anymore in his name. AKA, also, if I'm ever contemplating quitting is what he's doing. If I'm thinking about throwing in the towel, here's what it says. Read with me, church. This is amazing. Look at this next verse. Read with me. His word is in my heart like a fire shut up in my bones. Let's say it together, all right? I want you to say it like you actually mean it. Here we go. One, two, three. His word is in my heart like a fire shut up in my bones. What Jeremiah is saying is what every fully devoted follower of Jesus Christ completely understands, and here it is. The only thing worse than the ongoing pain of doing something difficult for God is the internal agony of quitting and realizing that God is no longer using you or your life. The only thing worse than the trials of serving the Lord is the agonizing realization that God's not using me because I quit. And if you've ever felt the thrill of God using your ordinary life for his purposes, in some ways, you are wrecked for life. Because the absence of that is maddening to a serious-minded follower of Jesus. It's the stuff that keeps you awake at night. And you're like, oh, I just want to be used by God again. I want his hand in my life. I want him to make a difference through my life to someone, to somebody, somewhere. It starts to feel like a fire shut up in my bones. And I can't live this way any longer because it's going to drive me crazy. The saddest Christians I know are not the ones who are out there giving it all for the Lord and toughing out difficult assignments. It's the people who remember what it was like to be in the fight. It's the people who remember what it was like to be beside other fired up disciples of Jesus doing something difficult and doing something great for God. Now they're on a couch somewhere eating pizza late at night watching Christian TV. I'm asking you, don't let that be you. Don't let that be you. Don't be the remember the guy day. You know, those people who always remember the day. You know, they're always like, back in my day. You know, they're always those kind of people. We did this and it worked. And da, da, da. You know, I'm like, you know what? The God that was there is also the God that's here right now. The God that was using you back then also wants to use you right here, right now. If you got breath in your lungs, guess what? You've got a purpose. You're not an accident. You're not walking around going, God's going, I can't believe that guy's still alive. He knows he's got you alive for a reason. He's got something for you to do right where you are. Rather, be like Jeremiah. When you have a tough assignment, don't be tempted. Don't give in to temptation to quit. Let's put it that way. I mean, do some yelling. Do some ranting and raving to God. Tell him how hard it is, how mad you are. Complain for a night. And then think about how terrible, how empty your life would be if you bailed out on God's assignment. It's going to be like a fire shut up in my bones. And after you go through all that, do what Jeremiah did, get back to work, get back in the game, pick up that assignment, keep going. And I know what Jeremiah expresses. I love what he says here. And at the end of chapter 20, he says this. He just says this. After that prayer that we talked about, here's what he says at the end of it. Sing. Sing to the Lord, give praise to the Lord. He rescues the life of the needy from the hands of the wicked. It's almost like Jeremiah is looking himself at the mirror, a full-length mirror, and he's looking at himself going, yeah, I'm pretty beat up. I got worked over, but guess what? My arms still work, my legs still work, I'm still somewhat coherent. Maybe I was protected. Maybe what God said long ago actually is true. He rescued me. Maybe what I should do right now, maybe I should sing, great is thy faithfulness, instead of writing my resignation letter. I love this guy. He's a hero to me. When I get to heaven, I see Jeremiah, I would be like, dude, you had a tough assignment. But guess what happens when he dusts himself off from that terrible beating, from being totally humiliated? He goes back to God and he says, God, if you want me, I'll sign up for round two. I'll sign up for another difficult assignment. And God says, all right. He's a little less naive this time, isn't he? I mean, he knows now that making trouble for God isn't easy, so God sends him out on another speaking assignment. And guess what? Jeremiah causes trouble all over again. Jeremiah speaks about this enemy who's going to come in and take over the nation. The people get all hacked off, and now they really want to shut Jeremiah up for good now. And so what they do is they take him into a cistern, which is a pit about 15, 20 feet deep, and they throw him inside of it, they seal it up, and they leave him there to die. And it's here in the bottom of the cistern that Jeremiah's probably thinking, oh, this second assignment is going great. I mean, this is far better than the first assignment. Here's what the Bible says, Jeremiah 38. They lowered Jeremiah by ropes into a cistern. He had no water in it. It had no water, only mud. And Jeremiah sank down into the mud. And my image of Jeremiah is as he's there and his armpits are up to mud, all right? Think, I know I'm going to gross out some of you. You're going to cough up your communion, all right? Here you go. Think snakes. Think spiders, think rats, think worms, all right? He's there, and he's just in that situation. He's stuck in the mud. And I think at this moment in Jeremiah's life, it hits him like a freight train. I think he realizes that if he stays faithful to God, it's not going to get better. God might be deciding his sovereign wisdom to always give tough assignments to Jeremiah. There's no going to be no revival. There's no going to be no breakthrough. There's not going to be tons and tons of people coming to hear him speak. There's no church that's going to be launched because of his ministry. So he's thinking, what if I'm speaking for God means I go through this over and over and over again? And while he's thinking that, down at the bottom of a pit, a government official actually gets a conscience, comes and rescues Jeremiah. Jeremiah is now free, and you're thinking the same thing I'm thinking. You know what you're thinking? You're thinking this. If I'm Jeremiah, I'm running for it. I'm running away. Two out of two assignments have gone incredibly bad. He's done, right? That's not what happens. You would think a total goofball would sign up for round three. So Jeremiah goes back to God and says, God, if you'll have me, I'll do round three. Or it'll be like a fire shut up in my bones. And God tells Jeremiah, thanks, Jeremiah, go speak my word some more. And I know Jeremiah in his heart is thinking, what? yeah, go speak my word some more. And he does exactly what happens. And then what been predicted is exactly what happens. All of a sudden, an enemy nation comes in and swoops in, destroys everything in sight. They drag off the entire country into exile to be slaves for generations to come. And if you think Jeremiah got out of this, that he got left behind somehow, well, that doesn't happen either. He gets dragged off with the very people that he spent his whole life trying to warn to repent, but they wouldn't repent. And so here's Jeremiah in a foreign country. He's standing by a river. And while he's at that river, he writes a book called Lament. We know it as Lamentations. It's a melancholy book if there's ever been one. But right in the middle of this lament, this old battle-scarred prophet says some of the most amazing words as he reflects on the destruction because of the consequences of their sin. Look what he says in chapter 3, Lamentations. I remember my affliction. I bet he does. He's experiencing it. I remember my wandering. I remember the bitterness and the gall. I will remember them, Lord, and my soul is downcast within me. But I want you to hear this word. He says, yet this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. Because, I love this, because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed. For his, read with me, church, for his what? His compassions never fail. Amen? His compassions never fail. They are new every morning. And so he says this, great is your what, church? Great is your faithfulness. And as I read Jeremiah, as I read Lamentations, I need you to know my response. My response as I close my Bible is I say this, God, I want to be that guy. I want to be that kind of person that you can entrust me into a difficult assignment with. I want to be the type of goofball that if the first assignment doesn't go well, you give me another one. And if that assignment is tough, that you give me another one. And every time, Lord, I come back to you and I say, God, will you trust me with another one? I want to be that kind of guy. And if that's my fate, Lord, as I'm getting older, I pray that my spirit would be kind and my spirit would be sweet and that I would not be weak and grow up to be irritable and a frustrated and a hard person. I pray, God, as I go through those trials, that, Lord, I will wake up and I will say to you every day, Lord, your mercies are new every morning. And I can feel them every morning in my eyes, in my heart wake up. God, I experience a fresh streams of your mercy every single morning. And I wake up and I just say always and every day, great is your faithfulness to me. This past couple weeks, my wife and my kids and I and some friends went off on a vacation, and I went to a place I haven't been to in a long time. It's called the Upper Hooch, and it's a great place to kind of get people experiencing whitewater. It's a great training ground. It's where I trained when I was 12 and 13 years old. And here's a photo of my daughter going through that whitewater for the first time. She's kind of, you know, letting her kind of check it out. She's getting ready to go to college, and it's kind of like, hey, let's do this before you go. And so as I go around this rapid first time in years, I'm sitting there and I'm videotaping everyone go through it. I was the first one to go through it, and all of a sudden it hit me, that rock over there on the left. That's the rock when I was 12 or 13 years old, we'd hang out with half the day. We'd just hang out, we'd play in the rapids and just kind of figure out boating skills, a great place to kind of learn how to do things before you get to bigger things. And all of a sudden, I'm like, I got to get back to that rock. But I'm downstream. And so what I did is I hopped over here and some rocks, and I walked my way across these rapids right here and dove into an eddy and swam across to that rock. And I got to the rock, and I'm sitting there by myself. I'm standing there. I'm walking this rock. And it's the first time I have been on this rock in 30-something years. And I just had a conversation with God. I said, God, here I am, first time back in 30 years, and I just want you to know you've been really good to me. I see my family down the stream. Lord, you give me clothes, you give me food, you give me a home. Lord, your mercies have been so good to me every step of the way the last 30 years. And I just want you to hear me say to you, God, thank you. It doesn't mean life has been easy, but God's been good. And I said this to God. I said, God, here's my request. I'm asking that you give me another 30 years. Another 30 years of serving you. And Lord, I'm praying for your mercies and your faithfulness to me. Like it's been the last 30 years, Lord, I'm praying for another round. And Lord, I promise I will stay loyal to you and I will serve you. I'll fall, I'll mess up, but Lord, I'm going to get back up again. I'm going to continue to walk with you. And Lord, I'm asking you to give me another 30 years. Lord, you've been good to me. Lord, you give me a great church to serve at. Lord, I'm just dumbfounded about how merciful you are to me. God, give me a tough assignment. I don't want a layup assignment. Lord, you give me challenging ones. I want more challenging ones. I want one that's challenging and tough. But Lord, I promise you this. It's not about being successful, Lord. I want to remain faithful. And so as I reflect on this challenging section of scripture, I have some challenges for you. And here they are. Can you admit in any part of your life to God that at one point he gave you a tough assignment? And he entrusted you with this tough assignment and you bailed. And it got hard. You said, you know what? I can't do it anymore. You said, I won't do it anymore. Would you say to God this morning, God, I'm sorry. I'm sorry that there's an assignment you gave me. I bailed out on it. And if I know what I know now, I probably wouldn't have. But some of you need to pray a prayer of apology to God when you say, I'm sorry I caved in under a tough assignment. Maybe that's you. Maybe that's you, but also maybe this is you or maybe this is someone else. Number two. Some others of us, this is different for you. Some of you love God. You feel Spirit of God moving right now in your life. And you're saying to God today, Lord, if you have a difficult assignment for me, and you're looking for someone to assign it to, I want you to know I'm available. I'm here. I'm ready. I'm offering myself to you today. I don't need an easy assignment from now to the grave. If you got a tough one that doesn't fit anyone else, Lord, I'm telling you right now, I'm willing to take a tough assignment. I'm willing right now with your help to be faithful to it. Lord, I'm available today to you for this tough assignment, whatever it is. Some of us right now are in a tough assignment and we're thinking about bailing. And I'm telling you right now, God has given you that assignment. It's precious assignment, and he gave it specifically to you. And I'm asking you, when you hear Jeremiah, maybe you look at Jeremiah's life and you go, my assignment's tough, but it's not that tough. And maybe today you realize how precious it is to carry out those assignments. And may you long right now in your heart of hearts to hear these words from God. Well done, my good and faithful servant, because I gave you a tough assignment. You stay faithful all the way to the very end. I long to hear that from God. And if he gives me another 30 years, I'm getting back on that rock again. And I'm going to tell you, God, I'm ready for more. I want to encourage you today. Here's a challenge for you. We got these broken pieces of pottery up here spread all over the front of the stage. I want to encourage you with this. If you're willing to take a tough assignment from God, during this closing song, I want to ask you, as we sing about every victory, because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, we have every victory we need. And so because of that triumphant reality, I'm going to take a tough assignment. I'm going to ask you, as we take this closing song, as we sing this in this time of worship, that you can take your prayers on your left or on your right. You guys online can do it online at the online page and hit the request prayer button. But while that's going on, if you want to say, God, I'm ready for a tough assignment. I want to stay loyal to my assignment you've given me. I want you to come up here and grab a piece of pottery. And maybe every time you look at this pottery, may it remind you of how precious that assignment is. It reminds you of your commitment to stay faithful to the end. Will you stand with me? Let's stand together and let's go to God in prayer. Father God, we come before you, and Lord, right now is the time when we realize that we need to admit something, and Lord, we have fallen short in times of our commitments. And Lord, we need to ask you right now for your forgiveness. Saying, I'm sorry, I bailed out on that tough assignment. But Lord, now is a moment, because of your grace, we're given an opportunity to not bail or to step forward into a new assignment from you. And Lord, may we take these assignments seriously, understanding, Lord, of how divine and how amazing they really are. How supernaturally they've been given to us. And Lord, may we not take them lightly. And may we devote ourselves to you as we serve you through them. Lord, I'm asking you right now to move and help us to be willing to take on a tough assignment, not for our glory, but for your glory. And we pray this all in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. And the whole church said, amen. So right now, if you're ready to take a tough assignment from God, as we sing this song, why don't you come up here right now and take a piece of pottery going, God, I'm ready. I'm here. Use me for your will. Why don't you do that right now as we sing All Praise to Him. Let's sing together. Let's make that move. Why don't you come right now.